Welcome to Christ Today. Today we are joined by Pastor Alfredo Romero of the Rock of Life Fellowship. Heavenly Father, guide our thoughts and our words today that they may bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Alfredo Romero, welcome to Christ Today.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I just am so glad. I love to be able to speak the things that are about God and Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful thing. Also, I enjoy your church very much, the Rock of Life Fellowship, and let me say that that is just off Skyway in Chico on Dominic Drive. Yes. And your services have a contemporary style with a traditional and biblical basis. So,
amen.
Yay!
Amen. Yes. Yeah, and I've got to tell you, it's always nice talking to you. You always have a smile on your face, which I really like. It's the joy of the Lord always comes through, and I really like that.
But you
it's
have
infectious.
That, too. And I'm so glad. We celebrate Jesus Christ. He gives us so much in life.
Yeah.
Besides, he has given us life. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I did a sermon, I think about 3 weeks ago now, and it was about, it was about how we are to focus on, it was Philippians 4, it was like how we are to focus on the lovely, the pure, the good reports, and so many things nowadays we don't focus on that are the godly things that he would like us to.
Yeah.
And we can definitely get distracted by what's going on in the world and the trials and the tribulations, and at the same time, God calls us to have this joy, that's just,
yes.
That transmits through anything that we're going through, any circumstance. We can still have that joy of the Lord, and we can still struggle and have our tough times, but the joy of the Lord always has to be, it should be there, I should say. Should
well,
be.
Well, let me say one thing about the people in the church that you pastor, and that is there is a love of Christ in among the people there, and that's one of the things that I love about the church that you pastor.
It's a very big family environment. There are many, many people that are, they've been around for a while. A lot of people have a relationship with Christ. We have some people that are searching for a relationship with Christ. And I think the one thing that I hear the most about when people come in, they say, it's just, you can feel a genuine spirit there.
Yes.
Yeah. And I truly believe that. There is a genuine guidance of the Holy Spirit there that creates a joyous atmosphere. Like, for example, last week when we had the kids run the church service, that was very joyful. I challenged the adults, saying, why can't we be more like the kids? And every time the kids are there for the whole service, it's just so joyful.
That's one of the things that we must not neglect is the children in our church, in our family.
Yeah.
And that is so essential. In a way, it's a missionary field all by itself.
Oh, yeah. There's so many Bible verses that talk about coming to the Lord as little children, about honoring them and training them up. And, God knows the importance of children and that childlike faith that we are to have even as we grow up to become adults.
Yeah. Oh, I was just thinking about the missionary field. Yes, yeah. We have children to speak about our faith with and have them understand it. We also have the community around us to speak our faith and our testimony to.
Yes.
That's going to be a growing mission field as far as I can see.
Oh, yeah, we were talking earlier about the mission field and how, and everybody's, this is a pretty common statement, people would say, well, to the mission field, we'd go to these other countries and, we would take these mission trips and go to Mexico and go to South America or Asia and yeah. Middle East, etc. And everybody's recognizing that, okay, we have a mission field right here in our neighborhood, in our city, our town, our state, our country. This is a mission field. And with so many different people and diverse people we have now, we can't take it for granted that anybody already has this relationship with Christ. Our main focus should be, no matter where we are, no matter who we're talking to, is to have the gospel at the forefront of our communication, that people know who we are and who Christ is more than anything, who Christ is. We are to spread the gospel to everyone and anyone.
Yes, and that reminds me that the the country, the our United States, has changed in character over the last 200 years to so many people being Christians, and then we have many people who have come to the United States who need to know Jesus.
Yeah, what an opportunity. Because we have different cultures in our country.
Yes.
Now, and that's fine.
Cultures, wonderful cultures.
Wonderful cultures, and it's awesome. I find it a huge opportunity to be able to talk to people who may come from a culture that don't have Christ as that primary faith. Their faith is in maybe something other than the truth of God's word.
Yes. Yes, and that's our missionary field.
Yeah.
Mission
Amen.
Field, yes.
Amen. There's so many times that I look at church, and I never want our people to take that for granted, not to realize that when you walk into God's house, that is a platform of more of a jumping, like a springboard into your ministry to get full of God's word, to strengthen our testimony, strengthen our lives, have that armor of God on to go out and do this battle that we're in right now. And be able to still hang on to our testimony and our integrity in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's nothing worse than people that would, and I'm going to challenge people, and I say this in my church all the time, you know, to be able to walk in and say, you know, we cannot walk out of church, get filled, give God praise and glory and get a good word, and then walk out, hit the sidewalk, turn around, say, okay, God, see you next week. You know, we can't do that. We have to realize that a true relationship with Christ,
yes,
is 24/7. Every moment of the day is an opportunity to grow a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, I tell people that fellowshipping in the house of the Lord should be a supplement to our relationship that we have with Christ Monday through Saturday. We should go in and have ourselves challenged, convicted, edified, lifted up, encouraged, motivated, to go out and work on our relationship Monday through Saturday.
Well, I think of it in a similar terms, and how do we demonstrate that we actually belong to God? We call him our God. We call him our Savior.
Yeah.
We say we belong to him, Lord.
Yeah.
And what are we doing in those 7 days a week?
Yeah, that's a good point. I never want to be back to where I was before. And, you know, small testimony part. I mean, I definitely was, and I would admit, a person that would be able to talk to talk. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. But if anybody followed me around most of the time, they wouldn't see it. There's no fruit to it. There's no fruit. And then we even did a discussion where the difference between salt and light. Light goes out and proclaims Jesus. Light says, look, here's the Lord. Isn't he wonderful? I'm a Christian. I give myself to the Lord. It's wonderful. And then yet there's no salt because there's nothing in their life that backs up what they proclaim. And just to say it kind of bluntly, we talked about this in the men's group the other night, to say you're a Christian, to say I believe in the Lord, yet you don't have any fruit, yet you don't see that 24/7 desire to please him, to strive to live a holy life, to try to show your reverence and respect and love that he is the primary focus in your life, and to go out and have, now I'm talking about purposeful actions where you disregard what you know is truth. I'm not talking about, you know, stumbling. I'm not talking about, you know, battling something, knowing what's right. I'm talking about people that would mock God, that would know what is right, yet purposely do what is wrong, purposely. And that's what I'm talking about, people that would mock God.
Yeah, those are people who would be disruptive to any church organization.
And bad testimonies.
Oh, yeah.
Just not proper. We are to be ambassadors of Christ all the time. All the time. I mean, I've got people that'll tell me, and I always use myself as an example because it's hard for me to say, like this guy Bob in my church. Oh, you know, I can't do that. But I'll use me as an example. I mean,
yes.
there are definitely moments where I can say, look, I'm struggling with something. You know, I'm struggling with like fits of wrath or anger, and I want to overcome this anger, and I don't want to. And if I feel, you know, myself getting riled up a bit, I just go to the Lord and go, Lord, I just help me, help your spirit renew my mind, renew my heart, you know, resist these attacks and these temptations, because I'm aware of the fact that I get convicted when I start behaving in a way that's counter to the way that God would want me to behave as an ambassador of Christ.
Mm.
Now, if I don't acknowledge that, if I actually say, well, you know, it's what's wrong with getting angry every once in a while? Yeah, well, that guy deserved it. And we had, you know, you should have seen what he said to me. And I purposely have no repentance to that anger.
Yeah.
That's a bad testimony. Yeah. There's no battle there. I'm giving in to this sin. I'm giving in to this temptation. There's no, you know, spiritual battle where I'm going to the Lord to go, Lord, please take control, because, you know, one of your fruits of the spirits is self-control. And Lord, I don't have that right now. You know, lead me to that, which is why I'm a big, big proponent and promoter of every single Christian understanding Galatians 5. You must understand Galatians 5 when it talks about how we are to walk in the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit that results from a striving to walk in the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and that self-control. We have to be aware of that as the result of walking in the Spirit, and that's what our focus should be. Because the flip side of that is Galatians 5 says that when we walk in the Word, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit. But when we walk in the world, when we allow the world to beat us up, when we don't fight, when we don't battle against the world, when we give into it and we just go, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm human, whatever, I'm going to make mistakes, and we're satisfied with what is less than what God would have for us, then we walk into jealousies, revelries, sexual morality, fits of wrath, idolatry. That is the fruit that we will take on when we don't walk in the Spirit, when the world is so much of influence on us, that we create a lot of the battles that don't have to be in our lives, just simply by not acknowledging the Holy Spirit should be in control of our lives.
And what a witness that is to the world, to have a person whose action line up with what scripture calls us to be.
Yeah, I agree.
I know, looking back, I remember the look at when I was looking at faithfulness and what it was to be faithful in Christianity. I looked at truth. What
yeah.
is truth? And do I really value truth? The answer was yes. And so I went to pursue it. It was quite an exercise.
Yeah, and we did that. We did a message not too long ago about, oh, maybe a month ago. There's so many different variations in this world right now about what truth is. You know, we hear it. I mean, you don't have to go very far to hear people say, well, my truth is my truth.
Oh,
whatever I believe is my truth. Whatever you believe is your truth, I have my truth. Everybody, and who am I to question your truth? If you believe that when you pass away, that you're going to go into a world where all you guys eat is bananas and peanut butter and forever being able to eat whatever. If that's your truth, and who am I to say that that's wrong? You know, so everybody has this specific truth. But the message is, listen, any rational person, anybody that's open would have to say that there can be only one truth. There can be only yeah. one truth. Because if there's more than one truth, then there's no truth at all, because it just contradicts each other. The Word of God is the only truth. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he meant it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through him. So when we start explaining to people, I don't want to get into an argument. I don't want to say, well, let me tell you why your truth is wrong. What I want to be able to do is have a conversation that's reasonable, rational, calm, and say, let me show you what the Word of God says. Because people know truth when they hear it. Their question isn't that they don't hear it or they don't recognize it. Their question becomes, will they accept it or not? Will they accept it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there, they know that Jesus is Lord. They know the Word of God is truth, but they just refuse it. They deny it. I mean, I have come across multiple. I mean, I can't count how many people said, I believe in God. I believe in the devil. I just don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with him. You know, I'd rather burn in hell. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. And I've talked with many people who acknowledge that the Word of God is truth. They just deny it. They don't want it.
What a tragedy.
Yes.
And to hear that sermon that you preached, spoke in church about truth, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Just one truth.
There can only be one. If there was two, right away there's contradictories, and you can't do that. So our job as ambassadors of Christ is to point people to the truth. And we can do that in many ways. One way is we can tell them. We are to go out and proclaim. How are they going to hear unless somebody sends them? How are they going to know unless somebody tells them? That's us. But our lifestyle, how we back that up, is so important. Not that we don't struggle. Not that I don't make a mistake. Not that I don't fight off temptations and battles. I'm the first one to say that I'm far from who I still who I want to be. Yes, I've come a long way, thankfully to the Lord. Yes, I'm not the person that I was 20 years ago or 15 years ago. I thank the Lord for that. But I'm still working on trying to be who God has called me to be every day. Listen, if anybody's listening and you've beaten yourself up and you've thought, I've done too much, too much has been spoken over me, I've been brutalized and beaten up, you know, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, I'm not good enough, I've done too much, there's reasons why God says, my mercy is brand new every single day. You know, I am here. I will forgive you. If you come to me, there is nothing that you can do that would have God say, no, I won't accept you unless you deny him, unless you blaspheme him, unless you look at the Lord and say, no. But anybody that truly comes to the Lord with a repentant heart and confesses and believes in their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus welcomes you. And then the journey begins. In other words, when someone gives their life to the Lord and they say, I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. Whatever I've been doing, it's not working. I want Christ. I want to turn my life over to him. You don't have this instantaneous boom. You become exactly who God wants you to be and there's no work to do. That's where God starts to mold you and shape you. And I say this all the time. Yes, I believe in instantaneous miracles and instantaneous healings. Now, I believe that. At the same time, I also believe that once we give our lives over to the Lord, this process starts to begin.
Yeah.
This process of renewal, restoration, a new creation, that things that I thought were important to me before I gave them my life to the Lord, the more I get to know who Christ is, the more I get to know who I am, suddenly things that I thought were important to me in this world, they start to fade away.
Yeah.
They're not so important to me anymore. There are things that people are clinging on to in this life. I can't go to Jesus because I'll have to get rid of this. Well, you know, here's the point. Go to Jesus, give your life to Christ, and let's see what happens. You know, let's see what happens.
Yes.
And the things that you didn't think were important at the time, when you give your life to Christ and you learn his word and you learn how much Jesus loves you, suddenly those things that you didn't think were important to you, they start to become important to you if they're in line with God's word and all that he has for you. I think people sell themselves short a little bit too much, and we've heard this before. It's as if they think they have to clean up completely before they give themselves to the Lord. And when they do give themselves to the Lord, they think that cleanup is like instantaneous. In some cases, it is. I've heard of people that when they gave their lives to the Lord, instantly their desire for alcohol was gone, or drugs, or sex, or anger. I've heard of that, and I believe it, and I've seen it. I'll speak for myself. You know, when I really rededicated myself to the Lord, there were some things that broke off immediately, and there was other things I needed to work on. That the more I got into the Word, the more I prayed, the more I fellowshiped with God, the more I spent time with him, the more I put myself in the right places at the right time instead of the wrong places at the wrong time.
Yeah.
When I start fellowshipping with God's people, there's things that start to change within me. God's work is really starting to take place. And there are things that I'd say I used to think were important to me. They're no longer important to me. Mm-hmm. At one time, I thought I couldn't live without certain things. Now I know there's only one person I can't live without, and that's Christ.
What a message of hope. It's awesome hope that we have in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Well, you just said touched on the things that we do that are imperfect. There, maybe we even wish we didn't do them.
Sure.
And we come to Christ with as we are, and then we learn more, and we allow Christ to change us. It's mm-hmm. awesome hopefulness that we have, and that we preach to speak about to the world.
That's one of the primary messages of Christ. It's the hope, the hope of our salvation, our hope in Christ. You know, this world will let us down. Look around. This world is crumbling. It's fallen apart.
Oh, yeah.
Culturally, it's fallen apart. With crime, it's fallen apart. With the nations are crumbling. The violence, the wars, it's just crumbling. There's nothing that you can hope on in this world. There's nothing. This world will always let you down.
Mm-hmm.
Our hope is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one who says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. I'll fight your battles for you. I'll restore you. I'll renew you. I'll give you mercy and grace." No one offers that other than Christ. No one.
Yeah.
No religion, no person,
no
nation, no government. Right. Only Jesus.
And these days, there is so much conflict and confusion. And as you say, things are falling apart in many different areas.
Oh, yeah.
We see it. And so we can cling to the truth of Jesus.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how things have been falling apart for the beginning of time? Earth's time, I guess. You know, God's outside of time, but
yeah.
But you know, since the world was created, since the fall of Adam and Eve, and absolutely things have been falling apart forever, and they're getting worse. And God says you're going to go through trials and tribulations. At the same time, isn't that amazing that God still says, "But fear not, I've overcome the world." That our hope is in Him. This world is temporary. I know we're going through trials and tribulations. I'm careful not to throw other people under the bus. I cannot always say that every day is going to be just your best day, and every day is just going to be wonderful and no issues, and whatever comes against you, it's going to... You can't do that, because Christ says, listen, in this world, you will have trials. You will have tribulations. You will have struggles. But He says, "Fear not, I've overcome the world."
Mm-hmm.
And that means when you focus on Christ, we may not be able to go through the mountain, but we go under it, over it, behind it. We'll get through that mountain some way, knowing that God leads us. God says, if you just have that faith of a mustard seed and you say, for that mountain to crumble, it will. Mm-hmm. There are too many people that look at this world as their hope.
Oh.
That the way they're going to get through their trials and tribulations and troubles and tough times is that somehow the world's going to help them. The only thing that's going to get us through this mountain is having faith in Christ. We've talked about earlier, I think every single person has gone through the trials and the tough times and the the tragedies and things of life. I can only get through all that with my faith in Christ. Without faith in Christ, I can't get through it. I can't. You know, whether it's illness or fires burning down homes or people in our lives sick or dying or tragedies. And, you know, they are difficult. They are hard. But somehow Christ gets us through it. He will. And this life's too temporary. I can't get caught up on the struggles of this world, because this is just a pit stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's a layover on the way to eternity.
No, but you do make me think about our testimony. When we go through the tough times, when we go through the trials, we do have a testimony of Christ bringing us through them.
Yeah.
And the miracles along the way, the miracles are awesome. And they get people's attention.
Yeah. I saw this movie the other night, and it was basically, the theme was all these horrific things happened to this brother and sister.
Mm.
And the movie, basically, most of it was as they struggled. And you think, what's the point of it? Boy, life is difficult. Boy, life is hard. Yet at the end of the movie, it revealed that whatever someone, the enemy, had meant for evil, that God can use for good to get you through to this point where you are now. That's basically in the story of Joseph in Genesis.
Yeah.
And it's true. There are things that my wife and I, my family have gone through the last few years that while we were going through it, it was like, oh, it's never going to get better. This is it. I mean, our life is pretty much over at this point. I don't know how it's ever going to get better. But that's the way God works. We can look back and see God's hand and God's grace and mercy and his strength with us every step of the way. And most of that doesn't come until in hindsight. It just, you look back and you can see, yes, God, I see you are with me. And there was moments of despair. There's moments of doubt. But I can look back now and see how you never left me. You never did forsake me. And the good that came out of some of these things. And that was basically the theme of this movie, is that the wonderful goodness that came out through tragedies, through a struggle, through a trial, that yet God can use it for good and have these wonderful, amazing testimonies that are encouraging to other people, that uplift people. Joni Erickson Tada, for all the physical emotion that she's gone through, becoming paralyzed, yet what a ministry she has, and people that have come to the Lord through her ministry, through the grace of God, obviously, but God has used her for that ministry to lead them to Christ. I think 100 years from now, the fact that somebody like that had physical troubles, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Because her renewed body in heaven, it was a pit stop. It was a blip in our eternity. And yes, it was a trial, and yes, it was a struggle. But God using those things for good, for his glory, wow, that's amazing.
Well, that's what I have come to recognize in life, too. We have trials, we have troubles, but as we look in it over the years or decades, we get to see that God makes good out of the troubles that we have.
Yeah. Is that as easy to go through? No.
No, it's not.
No,
but
it's
we
not.
We have the faith and the understanding that good will come out of it.
Yeah, I used to know someone that whenever you said, "Hey, how are you doing?" They go, "Oh, I'm doing great. It's just wonderful. I'm just blessed, and everything's just isn't God just wonderful?" And that is absolutely true, absolutely true. No matter what this person was going through, the answer, "How are you doing? I know you're struggling right now." "Oh no, I'm blessed. God's great." And I thought that was wonderful. I thought, how an encouragement to still see that joy to say, yeah, we're going through some tough times, but isn't God awesome? Isn't he amazing? It was encouraging and sometimes, frankly, a little annoying because I kind of wanted just once, because I knew what this person was going through, just once I wanted to hear the person go, "I'm beat up, man. I'm tired. I mean, I'm wiped out. I'm at the end of my rope, end of my faith." But this person would not do it. They were like, "No, God's too good for me to complain."
Yeah.
It's so encouraging. And whenever I get to a point like that, I remember that. Yep, I'm blessed. I'm favored. God loves me.
So much of it just depends on where you look in life. Because if we look at the troubles, oh, I've got them too. But if we look at the blessings, oh, they're right there.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful when you get to actually examine what those blessings are.
Yeah.
Either in the present life or in the future, it's just wonderful.
Yeah, and the real key to this is not to deny the trials and the tribulations. Mm-hmm. God says, you are going to go through stuff. You know, blessed are those who suffer for my name's sake. And I was reading that 2 Timothy 2, and it was saying, you know, blessed are those, and you will suffer for me. The trials and the things that you go through, when you suffer for me, you know, you are basically, matter of fact, I even want to bring it up. It says that...
At 2 Timothy?
At 2 Timothy, it says, at 2 Timothy 2, 3, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. And it's just a reminder that the labor and the tough things that we do, when they're for Christ, when we suffer for Christ, there's a glory that belongs to him and him alone, and a testimony and an uplifting that helps us get through these trials. And they're difficult, and they're hard. And, you know my testimony, you know my story. Within a six-month span, our associate pastor passed away. A month later, my father passed away in my arms from a heart attack. And then 4 months later, all of our homes were burned.
Yeah.
And then a month after that, my wife had a horrible fall.
That's right.
Ended in the hospital for over a month with a spiral fracture, who's already battling a neurological disease for 17 years now. Now, during this time span, if somebody walked up to me and said, "Hey, Alfredo, how you doing?" Had I said, "Oh, I'm blessed. Everything is just great," they would have looked at me and said, "You're crazy. You're off the deep end."
Oh.
But what I would honestly say is, listen, the only way I'm getting through this, the only way I'm battling through this with my family, the only way that we're somehow not losing our sanity is that we know Jesus. We have our faith. We know that somehow we're going to get through this. I don't know how. I don't know what the end result is, but I know God. I know He's in control. I know somehow, some way, this will pass, and somehow it's going to be okay. Because if I didn't have that faith in Jesus, I would have lost it. Absolutely. That would have. Yeah. I'm not afraid to admit that without my faith in Christ and without my relationship with Jesus, my desire to follow the Spirit and to honor God, my entire family would have crumbled. I mean, I acknowledge the responsibility I have as a father and a husband and a grandfather. I acknowledge the fact that life was so overwhelming at that time that I had to say, I'm only making it because of my faith in Christ, knowing that He's going to get us through this. If I had come out and just went, "Oh, shit, everything's wonderful," it wouldn't have been a real testimony. Oh, yeah. I am not afraid to acknowledge that we're suffering for Christ. And listen to this. If anybody's struggling with anything out there, when you turn off the internet and don't look at images and things that you can't because you want to honor God, you're suffering for Christ. Mm. When you're talking with somebody and they want to be argumentative and you feel that that feeling coming up that you want to make your point and you want to tell these people how wrong they are and you want to argue and you want to debate, when you're slow to speak and you're slow to anger and you let God's Spirit give you that peace and self-control, and you fight those temptations off, you're suffering for Christ. You're honoring Christ by choosing the Spirit over the flesh. And that's part of suffering for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When we battle against anger and temptation, when we battle against addictions and taking that next drink or buying that next drug, when we avoid that next argument, we are suffering for Christ. When the motivation is to please God, to honor Him with our lifestyle, to be salt and light, and to be ambassadors of Christ. Every time we fight off the flesh, we're suffering for Christ. We're picking up that cross, and we're doing battle.
I think that's extremely valuable, what you just said. This is something, because we all have that struggle. Every one of us, it just manifests in different ways in our life.
Sure.
But what a good way to say it, so that we can recognize there is value to it.
And yeah.
Yeah. What a struggle.
The value is not for ourselves.
No.
The value is for God's glory. Yeah. That's where the value is. Anything I do for myself is worthless. If I do a good deed just to puff myself up, it burns up in the fire. It does nothing to honor God.
Yes.
You know, so I there was many years where that wasn't a understood revelation. It wasn't something I really realized. I could do a sin. I could have selfish thoughts. I could have selfish actions. I never realized how I was dishonoring God, even though I had a relationship with the Lord, but I was one of the ones that my faith without actions, my faith was dead for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saved. I had a relationship with Jesus, but it wasn't active. It wasn't relevant. It showed no, bared no fruit. That happens when you realize, when you reach not just a knowledge, but you reach a wisdom point in your relationship with Christ, where the wisdom hits and you go, "Oh, wait a minute. You mean it's not about me? You mean what I do and everything is about Jesus? Oh, I get it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm going to live differently now.
Yeah.
I'm going to try different things. I'm going to try God's way now." There is no plan, and I say this a lot, there is no plan anyone can have for their life that is better than the plan that God has come up for you. And how do you find that plan? have a relationship with Jesus, yield to the Holy Spirit, allow him to lead you, honor God by reading his word. Mm-hmm. The more you read the word, the more you fall in love with God, the more you know Jesus, fall in love with him, the more you're led by the Spirit, and the more you know who Jesus is, the more you know who you are.
Wow, that just makes me glow inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God's amazing.
Yeah, I think about the times when I have followed my ideas instead of God's ideas, and we all
big
know.
Mistake. I've done that. That's a big mistake. You know, God, I think I'm going to try it this way. I'm not too sure about yours. You know, I might have a little more fun if I just kind of do it this way. I'll check with you in a few days, let you know how it went. And then we go back to God, and he goes, I told you. I told you.
Oh, but it's so true. It's so true. And that's one of the advantages of getting a little older and looking back on life is we get to see how true that is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we just seek the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I make light of it in a sense, but it's absolutely true. I mean, there's things that I've done in my life for years that were selfish and self-serving, and I knew better. I'd go back to God, and God, in a sense where he says, I told you so, is really about, did you learn your lesson? Did you get some wisdom out of that? Yeah. Did you learn something? Good. Yeah. Now come here. Let's see some repentance. You know, let's get better, and read my word more. I love you. Let me give you a hug. Now follow my plan.
You said that so good. Yeah. And that's a part of what we do. And as you said earlier, we come to Jesus as we are. We accept Jesus in our life. We seek him.
Yeah,
and with all our little faults and frailties.
Yeah, and people will actually stay away from church. Or Christians actually, as believers, at times we can be dissuading, not persuading, but dissuading sometimes in the way we explain Christ and salvation to unbelievers, or the pre-saved, as I like to call them, the pre-saved. We can forget that a relationship takes time. You develop a relationship. Like, two people want to get to know each other, you have to spend time with them. When we want to get to know who the Lord is, we have to spend time with them. And suddenly, it's like somebody that's married, you have your spouse. True love would mean that I care more about their needs than I care about mine. Mm-hmm. That my priority is their welfare being over mine. That I would give my life for my spouse, before I would even attempt to save mine, I would make sure that her life was saved. That's a true relationship. So in relationship with Jesus is that his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. My desire to please God is higher than my desire to please myself. That's that real relationship. Now, where Christians at times, and I'll challenge all of us, is that when we're explaining Christ to somebody, don't make the mistake of overloading them with, now here's what you got to change. Great, let's do the salvation prayer. You confess Jesus with your tongue and you believe in your heart. Great. Now, here's your to-do list. You know, here it is right here. Now, you got to do this, stop this, do that, continue this, stop that, do this, because it overwhelms them. It's like, oh, you mean my relationship with God is a to-do list? Oh. Wait a minute. Or I got to clean this up? So I'll give you a real-life example to try to explain people that I'm challenging us as believers. I'm not trying to, bash at Christians. I just think that explaining the gospel, it's with love, it's with gentleness, it's with the motivation that there's no better relationship that we can have than our relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, once we have that relationship, then we allow God to work in us. It's not like we give them this great to-do list. One time in a church, we had led worship and praise, not our church. This is 20 years ago when I was just primarily a worship leader. And there was an altar call at the end, and a young woman came up who was about 15, and she had been in foster homes and gangs and drugs and just not living the life that God would have for her, right?
Yeah.
But she didn't know the Lord. So she came up during an altar call, and she felt the Holy Spirit. She really had an experience with the Holy Spirit. The message spoke to her. God spoke to her through the message, the praise and worship. The Spirit moved through her, and she said, I am ready to give my life to the Lord. I can't do this anymore. I want to give my life to the Lord. She comes up to the front. We pray with her. The women pray with her. She was female, so there was women there. Yeah. And, you know, we prayed with her. I prayed with her. It was great. It was wonderful. When it was done, a woman came up and said, okay, now you need to break up with your boyfriend. Oh. You need to stop listening to that music. You need to stop the smoking and the drugs. And you, there's lots of work you got to start doing. And the girl looks at her like blank-eyed going, wait, what? Yeah. Yeah. She wasn't ready for that. We're not to do the work. The Holy Spirit is to do the work. The Holy Spirit will tell her as she learns the Word of God, as she grows her love for Jesus and knows how much Jesus loves her, the Holy Spirit will convict her of the things that need to be rid from her life. And it's going to be a process. And I pray for the breakthroughs and the instantaneous breakthroughs that happen. I pray for that. But at times, so much of it is usually a process in our walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. So it overwhelmed her. The right thing that we should do is, once somebody gives their life to the Lord, is say, I want to make sure you have a Bible. Do you have a Bible? Do you have the Word of God? Okay, here's a Bible for you. Can I suggest in your relationship with Christ now that you learn who Jesus is? Can I have you maybe read two books right now? Read the book of John and read Galatians. Read the book of John first and then read the book of Galatians. And let's meet. Here's our Bible study. Here's our youth group times. You know, let's make sure we stay in contact. You know, here's when our churches are open. We have people that'll pray for you. I want you to know you're not alone. I want you to know there's people that are going to support you. And if you need some type of help with addiction or abuse or anything that's going on, we have some resource numbers for you. Let us get in touch. We'll put you in touch with people, maybe the some places in town that can help you with addictions, or if you're being abused, and we need to point them to where they can get help physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, and let Jesus do the work. We're ambassadors. Yeah. We can point them to the Savior and point them where they can get help. And even maybe you have experienced, knowledgeable people within the church that can walk alongside with a person, male or female.
Yeah.
But that's our role, the gospel, and then edification, support, love, a place of refuge, a community, a fellowship. Get these people involved with a community of believers that will love and support them. Anyway, that's enough.
That is such an important thing that you just said.
Yeah.
So very important. And it lends itself to not being judgmental, but instead having a fullness of the love of Jesus Christ to other people.
Yeah, and I wish our church was big enough. We've been around now. We just made 7 years, and we moved into a new building a couple of years ago. And, you know, the fires and the pandemic and a couple other issues have kind of taken a toll in a lot of churches with church attendance, and a lot of people are staying away for some of them very, very good reasons, not a problem. But if someone's able to come to fellowship and be safe and careful and cautious, and especially with COVID, if you have any symptoms, please stay home. We're online. You can watch us online.
Yeah.
But the point is that I wish at times we were bigger. I would love to have different ministries. But as we grow, I pray that we do what we can do. And there's other ministries in town that we point people to.
Yeah.
That maybe it's beyond what we can help them with, because we're limited in what we can do, and not in our heart, not in our prayer. We're never limited with that. Mm-hmm. But just in like some resources we might be limited to, but we'll point people to help if they have alcohol abuse or addictions, or, you know, there's places in town. There's a women's resource clinic. There's other social services and things. There's other ministries that may have a ministry that maybe we don't have yet. A praying community, a loving community, every church can be that.
And that's
every church can be that.
That's the church that you pastor. That's what I see. And I do want to remind people, it is just off Skyway, off on Dominic Drive.
Right.
So this is a very nice place to go for a 10 a.m. Sunday service.
Yeah.
And other events that you have there also. It's a very nice church.
There's ways that you can, if anybody wants to check out Rock of Life, there's ways. I mean, obviously Facebook. Some people don't do Facebook. We have some posts on Instagram. The biggest thing I would tell you to do is You can go on YouTube. We have a channel, YouTube. It's Rock of Life Fellowship. It's on YouTube. You can see virtually every single message since we opened, since when we were in Little Chico Creek Elementary School for a few years. You can see Pastor Rick Stout share messages, who passed away, unfortunately, in May of 2018. You can see my father sing for the Lord during worship and special songs. He passed away in June of 2018. You can even see a couple of bits of services from our house when we very first started in Paradise, which has since burned and gone. And then now every service that we do at Rock of Life's new home on Dominic Drive, you can see every service there. You can see the kids' services, everything. It's a great way to see, and we have testimonials. We have our About Rock of Life, our statement of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you flat out right now, it's about Jesus. It's about the Word of God.
Yay!
It's about the truth.
Yes.
Our leadoff hitter is Jesus. Yes, we believe in the moves of the Spirit, and yes, we believe in healing, and yes, but that comes when you start your relationship with Jesus, when you honor God and be led by the Holy Spirit. It is the absolute truth of God's Word. That is always going to be our cornerstone, is going to be Jesus. So whether you're interested in finding out who Jesus is, or you've known Christ for 10, 20 years or more, it is a great place to come in and grow your relationship with Christ no matter where you are. There's enough, the Word says, there's enough milk, there's enough freshness and newness for the new believers, and there's enough meat or depth for the believers that have been around for a while. Mm-hmm. There's women's Bible studies, there's men's Bible studies, our youth group starts again on September 15th. We have a senior ministry, we have like great women's ministry, great men's ministry for Bible studies. We have special services. It's just, you know, I'm very happy that the Lord has brought me to this ministry. It's His ministry, it's His home, and I'm just honored that He'd have me be part of it.
It is a comfortable place to go. As I say, people who love Jesus are in that church.
And you will be challenged. It's a challenging place.
Comfortably challenging.
Yeah, comfortably challenging. There's no condemnation, but the Holy Spirit, you know, He'll speak to us.
Yeah.
No matter where we are, He'll speak to us. But we preach God's Word, we share messages, and let God do what God does.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's why I wanted to say something about it, because it's a very nice and comfortable place to go.
Thanks for letting me share that.
For sure. We have so many things to share, though, and that's one of the things that we do. I like the idea of the missionary field being local, too.
Yeah.
And there are just so many people who do not have a relation with Jesus Christ, which is the cornerstone.
That's very true. And if you read the Word, everything we talk about is grounded in that. When Jesus said, okay, go to Judea, go to Samaria, and go to the outer parts. So let's just change that here. You can say, all right, so let's go talk about Jesus and share the gospel. Let's give people the opportunity to either accept or deny Christ.
Yeah.
Okay? So we'll go out and share the gospel. So let's go to Chico. Let's go throughout California, and let's go out through the nation, preaching the gospel, telling people who Jesus is, the hope of salvation, the mercy, the grace, mm-hmm. the escape from this world. Mm-hmm. The battle is His. It's a spiritual battle. It's not flesh and blood. I'm not battling politicians or groups or individuals. We're battling spiritual forces, evil, that is trying to destroy you and I, destroy us. Here's the way it works. If someone doesn't know Christ yet, the enemy throws everything he can to prevent you from hearing the truth, to prevent you from hearing the gospel. He wants you to stay in this worldly life, stuck. And you may have riches, you may have a great job, you may not think you have any problems, but if you don't have Christ, you have nothing. Or you may be struggling with anything, addictions, homelessness, abuse. Or you may just have a life that it's okay, and, you know, I've got some battles, but it doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, what you have or don't have. If you don't have Christ, if we don't have Christ, we have nothing, because we have no hope for eternity,
mm-hmm.
nothing. So the devil wants to make sure that there is nothing, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing in your life that can promote the way, the truth, and the life. He wants to keep you separated from the truth. He'll throw lies at you, deceit. He'll make you think more of yourself and others than you do ever think about God. Now, that's the enemy. Now, if we're believers, so what does the enemy want to do with us believers? Well, with the non-believers, he wants to keep you away from the truth, okay? He wants to entice you that his ways are better than God's ways. Now, for believers, what is the enemy trying to do to us? Destroy our testimony. Destroy it. He wants to make sure that we open up our mouths and share people about Jesus, that they just laugh at us because our lives are just no indication of our relationship with Christ. He wants to see us in ruined testimonies. He wants to ruin our families. He wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy our identity. He wants to destroy our children. He wants to destroy us in our workplace. Mm-hmm. He wants us to have no integrity and no responsibilities in our role as being ambassadors of Christ. He doesn't want us to represent Christ at all. He doesn't want us to share the gospel. He wants to just ruin us. He wants to destroy our hope, our faith. He wants to just take us down so that we're ineffective for God. We're on God's team, but he doesn't want us starting. He wants us on the bench.
How do we overcome that?
The great way is that when we submit to God, when we say, God, I'm yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm not doing this on my own. When I submit to God, guess who takes off? The devil. He takes off. Oh, man, I lost this battle. I'm out. And then he flees. When we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. That's the key. Yeah. Submit to God. And what is that word, submit? Well, the original...
Embrace.
Right.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking embrace.
Yes.
And hold on to Christ, Jesus.
Absolutely. Okay. To be able to say, God, I want to embrace you. I want to leave everything behind that I thought was important. I just want to hold you. I want to embrace. I want to have that relationship with you. I'm giving you everything. I'm yours. That's what it means. I'm yours, God. And the devil looks at that and goes, I can't get near that. I can't get near that. That person, that woman, that man has given themselves to Christ. They've given everything they have to the Lord. Yeah. I can't do anything here. I'm going to go someplace else where I can do some damage. When we draw near to God, he draws near. One thing I love about being a grandfather, and by the way, I've got 5 grandkids now. I got them all in the last 3 years. It was amazing. One of the greatest things as a parent or a grandfather or mother that you can experience is when this morning, my daughter drops off my 2 grandchildren. Ivy's a little over 1, Daniel's just turned 3. And when they open up the door and they hold their arms out and they run to me, with their arms out and big smiles on their faces. What do I want to do? I want to run to them with my arms open, with a big old smile on my face. See, as they draw near to me, I'm drawing near to them. That's exactly the way it is with God. When we open up our arms and we run to God and we go, God, I love you. I'm so happy to be here in your house. I'm so happy to be with you. Big smile on our faces, arms open up. What does God want? He's not sitting there going, yeah, come on, a couple more feet. The word says, you draw near to God, he draws near to you. God's running to you with his arms open, a big smile on his face, wanting to embrace you. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll have to wipe that little tear out of my eye. It's joyful. It's joy.
Yeah.
The joy of the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
That's our relationship, and that's what, when you were just saying about what do we give, what does we embrace? We want to give everything to the Lord. That's a part of that, let's call it a marital relation.
Right.
Where we want to give, God wants to give, we want to give to our spouse wants to give to us. And it's so joyful. Oh, just like those grandkids.
Oh, yeah. I love them. I love them. I've always loved kids. I've always connected with kids. I used to be a worship leader and a chapel leader for a junior high and a high school here in Chico, and an elementary school as well. And I love my children, my grown daughters, now my grandkids. Our church is very, very family-oriented.
Yes.
The kids just led the service from the worship to the message. It was amazing. And wasn't young Jack Rappa, wasn't that
wonderful.
Little boy amazing? Oh,
wonderful.
11-year-old kid sharing his testimony, encouraging people for Christ. How encouraging that was.
We just have about 2 minutes left on this broadcast today.
Okay.
And I certainly would like to think of, ask you to pray.
Sure.
We have so many prayer needs in this world, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
But I think let God touch your heart and your mind, and please pray.
Yeah, let me start with some of the obvious things. First of all, Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you that that you are sovereign, which means you're in control. You are the Lord that we depend on. You're the only one that we can depend on. You are our source of strength, hope. You give us grace, you give us mercy, you give us unending love that's higher than a mountain, wider than a valley, and deeper than any sea. Your love is never ending. And I thank you, Lord, for giving us this wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior. And Lord, your word says that we can come before you and we can actually tell you what's on our heart. Matter of fact, you know what's on our heart even before we say anything at all. And you still give us this opportunity to come to you, Lord, and put our requests before you. Lord, this world is in turmoil. This world is upside down. It's not what you intended. And I know your heart breaks over the tragedies and the horrible things that happen to your people here. Lord, I want to lift up everything that's going on in the Middle East and Afghanistan, God. Lift up those people there. Get them out safely. Lord, I also pray for a great revival in that area, that Jesus would be revealed, that somehow your Holy Spirit would move through everyone. We pray for our enemies. We pray for all those that would seek to do evil. We pray that their hearts would turn from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And every person would kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, I pray for our nation, our government, our leadership, that they would just seek your will and your ways in every decision, God, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. I thank you for peace. I pray for unity, not division. I come against the enemy, Lord, and his divisiveness, God. I pray for the fellowship of God's people, that the church would be strengthened more than ever, that division would not seep or go into the churches, the true churches of God, that the truth would be revealed to all, and that Christians would acknowledge and recognize our duty to be ambassadors of Christ, that we would not get into the useless babblings and quarrels that the world does, Lord, but we would stay focused on fellowship and love and honoring each other, Lord, and lifting each other up. I also pray, Lord, that anybody's listening right now, if they don't have that relationship with Jesus, that they realize how much you love them. Lord, I just pray that they would seek you above all, that they'd confess with their tongue right now that Jesus Christ is Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I can't live without you. I don't want to do this anymore. I know you're my Savior. I know you died just for us, just for me. I repent, turn from my ways, and I go for your will and ways. I thank you for that, Lord. I pray every person here would find a church to go to, a fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you.